I started doing the research in the early 80s, although the data that I gathered, which is press coverage, goes back to 1958. Mm-hmm. And I updated every year, and I cannot find any evidence that any child has ever been killed or seriously hurt by a contaminated treat picked up in the course of trick-or-treating. And I think that, this is interesting because there's a contemporary legend that people are constantly poisoning children's treats, and people worry about this, and the story lives on, even though there's really nothing much to it.
And you call it a legend. I guess, mm-hmm. How far back does this legend go? What keeps it going?
Well, it goes back to the earliest that I know of it is in the early 1950s. I knew someone who's older than I was who remembered that in the 1950s there were warnings about that people would heat pennies on skillets and then dump the red hot pennies into the outstretched hands of trick-or-treaters. Mm-hmm. And, it really picks up speed in the 1960s and the early 1970s. I think what keeps it alive, you can't blame the media for this. The media doesn't cover this because there's nothing to cover.
Right.
What this is it's a story that people tell. Teachers warn their students. The newspapers will print lists of Halloween safety tips, and they will say, make sure your kid can see out of the eye holes in the mask and be sure and inspect the treats. And, that's the degree to which the media is culpable. It isn't really the media's doing it. Mm-hmm. Legends are stories that are kept alive in the public. People tell them to one another.
Mm-hmm. I read a couple of, background things, and a lot of questions is, who would even do something like this, give out poison candy or an apple with a razor blade in it?
Right. I mean, this is why I got interested in it. When I was in graduate school, I was interested in deviant behavior, and I would read these autobiographies of thieves and junkies and prostitutes and so on. And what you realize when you read these documents is that they all have reasons for what they're doing. They may not be reasons that you think are good reasons, but they absolutely have reasons. Mm-hmm. And, this just gets lost, when you start talking about Halloween sadism. I mean, I could never figure out what the reason for doing this was, and people would say, well, it's just the kind of people they are. Well, that's what all the urban legends are about. Why do gang members hide under your car in the mall parking lot and grab your ankles and slash your Achilles tendon with a razor blade? Mm-hmm. Well, that's just what they do, mm-hmm. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
In all of your years researching this, talking about this, is it fun for you, or is it kind of a little like, oh, here we go again, another Halloween?
Well, it's entertaining, this year has had the marijuana infused candy aspect, which has been a little fun. It's sort of a seasonal job, and what fascinates me is that it keeps going, that because some reporter will get assigned to write a story about Halloween safety, mm-hmm. and then goes to LexisNexis to find out what they wrote about it last year, and they probably quoted me, so he calls me back up. I've been giving, this is the 30th consecutive year that I'm giving these interviews.
Yeah.
And, come March 15th, a lot of times nobody's called, and I think, maybe this is the year, mm-hmm. and it never is. I actually have three of these phone messages returned now that I'm at the airport.
Gotcha. Wow.
So it's sort of a fun thing. I am saying essentially the same thing over and over. And
yeah.
One of the things, there's a little humility to it. It doesn't matter that you've done research. It doesn't matter that, this gets press coverage. People still believe it's true.
Yeah. Here's the thing I thought was interesting. You're talking about the marijuana. People were concerned in Colorado mm-hmm. about marijuana-laced candy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you read about the Delaware mm-hmm. toddler that brought heroin to the
right.
daycare.
Yeah, and if he'd done it this week, that would be a trick-or-treat thing, but
yeah.
It's not. I'm hedging my bets a little bit on the marijuana-infused candy because, mm-hmm. you know, I this stuff's very expensive. It's about $10 a high,
yeah.
Right? You know, so I have trouble believing that somebody's going to buy hundreds of dollars of candy and pass it out to all the kids.
For free, but not charge them at least.
Right. Yeah, I was talking to this friend of mine who has a good deal of drug experience, and he was laughing. He said, yeah, that's just what pot smokers think. I have a lot of marijuana. I'm going to give away to children.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? But I can't imagine, you know, a fraternity party in Boulder, you know, where they have a bowl of little gummy bears and somebody, you know, takes them home.
Right.
And then it finds its way into the wrong hands or something. I don't know how dangerous that is, but,
yeah.
but it probably isn't impossible, but I seriously doubt that anybody's gone to Colorado, and smuggled marijuana infused candy back to Delaware.